Ezekiel 34, last time we stopped at the first or so, let's repeat that and move along as well. Ezekiel 34, we've called God Will Judge the Shepherd Leaders. That's the title that we've given to this chapter. Let's begin by reading verses 1, 2, and 3 together. And the word, Ezekiel 34, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel, that to feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. What's the source of Ezekiel's message here? The word of the Lord again, always the word of the Lord. And who's he prophesied about? The shepherds. Now, shepherds literally do what?
Take care of sheep.
And a spiritual application method, what would shepherds also be referred to possibly as well?
Taking care of people.
Taking care of the people. These could be the leaders of the people. Now, who are the leaders of the people of Israel?
The
priests were. Who else?
Prophets
were. Who else? The kings were. And these are the ones that have gone astray. Is Ezekiel for them or against them?
God's against them.
God, we don't know what Ezekiel felt.
Well, is he going to prophesy for them or against them?
Against.
He's spoken against. Does that make people happy when you preach out against them?
No.
It certainly doesn't. They don't like that. Against them. Now again, his authority is the Lord himself. He pronounces a woe unto them. Why does he woe them in verse number 2? Why does he pronounce a woe?
They're not feeding the sheep.
Not feeding the sheep. Who do they feed?
Themselves.
In other words, our regular sheep need to be fed, and if these are kings and so on, and as far as the whole nation of Israel, and particularly Jerusalem and Judah, those two tribes in the south, they're not doing what they should do, taking care of their flocks, which would be the people, if we interpret that as a people.
Are these shepherds spiritual shepherds?
In what sense, then?
Is this talking about physical food or spiritual food?
Well, I think this is probably physical food. It could be spiritual as well, but if these are kings, they'd probably be physical food.
I mean, the parallel in Timothy passage, this feed the flock which are among you, are they talking about, mm-hmm. Is that different?
That would be different. That would be spiritual preaching the word.
Mm-hmm.
This could be spiritual. It could be both.
I mean, it could be.
Well, there's not an expression about eating fat and clothing you with wool. That's physical. That's the thing. So I think there's a physical aspect. But
you're talking about bad black sheep?
Well, no, these are. This is a picture. So it's the whole chapter is a figure, a simile or a metaphor of leaders and followers and what's coming. Yeah, Tammy?
Well, eat the fat, isn't that what the priests wouldn't that be a reference to the priests?
Well, they weren't to eat the fat. The fat that was not to be eaten has to be burned up.
Well, I know that, yeah. But that's apparently
that could be.
What they were doing.
Well, that could be. But in a sense, it's the most important part of the animal. Those people like fat. It's like Jack Sprat and his wife, you know.
Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean.
And so between the two of them,
they
licked the platter clean. All right. So there's some people like fat. I don't like fat at all. I don't like fat. Anyway, it's bad for you. A lot of cholesterol in it. But they feed themselves. In other words, they're avaricious. They're lustful as far as they're wicked. They just think of themselves. What should the shepherds do? Should take care of the flocks and feed the flocks. The Lord is the good shepherd.
Really
give this life to the sheep. What are you confused about, Mrs. Wake?
Well, if it's real sheep, like sheep with wool.
Well, if it's a figure of speech, yeah, go ahead, with wool. Go ahead.
It's spiritual, isn't it?
Well, yes, but it's got the physical illustration and with an interpretation of a spiritual type of a structure.
Right.
It's a figure of speech. The whole thing is figure of speech. See, he's not talking about just the shepherds that are out there in the fields feeding sheep. He's talking about the leaders of the people, shepherds of Israel, the leaders. See, that's a word shepherd many times is used in the Old Testament for kings, those in authority, those that are leading, and that's what you have here. But it's on the figure of a shepherd. And the Lord is our good shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. And there again, it's literal sheep talking about a shepherd, literal shepherd, but the application is a spiritual application. We're not sheep. It's just like in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. See, so there's a figure of a speech of a sheep, rather, but it's an application, which is a spiritual application of this literal figure. They should feed the flocks. But in verse 3, what do they do with the wolf?
They're
clothing themselves. That's right. They steal it from the sheep. They cook. And what do they do with those that are fed? That is the sheep.
They kill them.
Kill them and not you feed not the flock. They eat them. So in other words, now with people, how would this apply to people in Judah? What are these leaders, these shepherds, these kings doing to the people of Judah on this analogy?
Making them go hungry,
that's right. Taking their food, stealing from them, maybe taxing them to death. What is it?
Fleecing them.
Fleecing them, that's the word fleecing. Mm-hmm. So fleecing the sheep, fleecing the flock, taking from them, getting money instead of helping them. And all. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they are scattered, because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did not search them or seek after them. All right, then verse 4, what have they done with the diseased? And those that are sick, what did they do with the sick ones?
Didn't take care,
didn't heal them. The broken ones?
Didn't bind them up.
And the ones that were lost?
Didn't bring them down.
And how's the leaders, these shepherds, ruled the sheep?
Force
and cruelty. Mm-hmm. Remember in Luke 15, there was a shepherd that had 100 sheep, and one of them went astray. What did the shepherd do? What happened? What did he do with the 99? He left them to go after the sheep. So this is a picture. See, shepherds and sheep and people, this is an analogy all throughout the Bible. Remember in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, David likens himself to be a sheep. The Lord the shepherd, the leader. And that's the picture we have here in this chapter 34. And then in verse 5, what happened to the flock because there's no shepherd?
Scattered.
You see, these kings were wicked kings. Zedekiah and these other ones and Judah were very bad. And so because there's no shepherd, when the wolves came in, the soldiers from Babylon, other armies, the sheep just took off and left. And, yeah, Dan?
The shepherd, in verse 2 and verse 5, are different shepherds?
No, I think the picture is the same. It's a similar thing. Why? What do you?
I mean, if you do a prophecy against the shepherds, but in verse 5 says there is no shepherd.
Yes. Well, they're prophesying against them because they're not there where they're supposed to be, see? They're supposed to be caring for the flock, and they're not there. They're absent. That's what he's saying, I believe, then, in verse number 5. And because the shepherd just left them. Remember Zedekiah, when Babylon came, what did he do? He went to Egypt. He fled, you see. He got out of town, out of Jerusalem, in order to flee. He thought he could escape. He didn't. He was captured. His sons were killed before his eyes, and his eyes were put out. But the shepherd left the people alone. And what happened to the sheep then in verse 5?
Scattered
and meat for all the beasts of the field. The wild beasts ate these sheep. In other words, just devoured them, killed them, slaughtered them. In chapter 33, we talked about there are three different ways that they met their death. And so, yes, Anna?
If this is a picture, like weren't the beasts be like the Assyrian? The Assyrians and the Babylonians?
Yeah, they'd be beasts. That's right. That would be the beasts. Like the Assyrians and the Babylonians, the Babylon coming from here, Assyrians from over here, any of these things. Ammonites coming down in order to kill and to eat and to destroy the God's people. And then in verse number 6, what happened to the sheep after there was no shepherd?
Didn't know what to do.
Wandered all over. And they left, and they didn't know where they were going to be. Every high hill, scattered. And then what did not the shepherds do in verse 6?
Didn't look for them.
Didn't look for them to search out. Now the sheep in chapter 15 of Luke, the lost sheep, the shepherd did come and search out. And that's why the Lord is as our shepherd, and there's a picture that's throughout the scripture. And then in verse number, I guess we stopped at 6. Let's go on to 7, 8, and 9 together. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. All right, then, verse number 7, it's a repetition of number 9, isn't it? What did God want the shepherds to do? Yes, Bob?
I just wanted to, we were someplace, I don't know if it was out west, or if it was in the Holy Land, it was someplace where there was something, and sheep, I don't know if it was sheep, but I know it was goats and cows and other sheep. They would graze on this mountain. I know it, something in here just reminded me of it. Uh-huh. You remember that?
I remember a bunch of flocks of sheep, and there were marks. Different shepherds had their own, that was in Israel, they had their own marks. Each, they were together in the field, but one had a T and the other had X, a different kind of market, so every shepherd knew what sheep was, but they grazed in the same pasture together.
I think this was in this country someplace where there was the mountains and the cattle and goats and farmers. That real steep hills, and they would graze on these hills. It was a marvelous thing to see because they acclimated themselves to living and eating on these hills.
On the hills instead of the flat.
Something here reminded me of that.
Uh-huh.
I guess wandering through all the mountains and every high hill.
So, because in verse number 8, what is the reason why God is against these shepherds especially? What did they do or not do?
They became a prey.
Became a prey. What does prey mean?
Animal hunted for killing.
What is it?
A marked person.
Marked person, someone for killed for food or so on. Meat for every beast of the field because there's no shepherd. They'd just taken off and they hadn't really cared about the sheep. They didn't search for them in verse 8, like we mentioned earlier, but the shepherds fed themselves, as was mentioned also earlier. So now God has a message in verse 9 for the shepherds. What does he want them to do?
Hear the word of the Lord.
Before you can hear the word of the Lord, what has to happen? You have to listen. Before you even listen, what has to happen?
You have to want to.
You have to have
Jesus in your heart.
Well, that's, in these days in which we live, you have to be saved, otherwise you won't want to listen. What else do you have?
Somebody has to speak it.
Somebody has to speak it? All right, what else?
That's an advancing message.
You have to possess the word of the Lord before you can hear it. Or someone that is speaking it has to have it in his or her hands so they can speak it and hear it. So, in this case, Ezekiel had the word of the Lord because God gave it to him, and he preached it to these shepherds, these leaders. And verse number 9. All right, let's read verse 10, 11, and 12 together. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding my flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out the flock of the day that he is among them, the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Alright, verse number 10, again, is he for or against these shepherds? Against the shepherds. And are other things that we're to be against in Scripture, just these particular shepherds, are prophets, were they to be against other things in the Old Testament? Are there any things in the New Testament that are to be against? Was the Lord Jesus ever against anything? Was he just a positive, positive, positive?
Yeah,
who was he against? What was he against? What?
He was against sin.
He was against sin. And those that practiced it, that did not want to repent of it, the Pharisees didn't want to repent. They had a lot of sin, but they didn't think they did. Yes,
huh? This whole, so far that we write, reminds me of the TV evangelists that are just greedy and, you know, living like Affleldy's, you know, wives on the beach houses and taking money from these poor folks that are sincerely looking for the truth.
Multi-million-dollar homes, some of them.
That's what I kind of think.
That's exactly right. They feed themselves and not the flock. That's exactly what happens. Is happening in these days in which we live. That's for sure. But so he's against the shepherds. And what does it mean? I will require my flock at their hand. What does this require imply? In verse number 10.
They'll have to answer.
And the New Testament says that any pastor who's a preacher in a church is responsible also. They'll give an account as those that will give an account. If they preach lies and they preach falsehoods to their churches, they're going to give an account. The Lord's going to especially, that's why it says in the book of James, be not many masters or teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation or judgment if they teach wrong. See? So everybody has a responsibility. So these shepherds, what they did to the flock, God's going to require them. And what is he going to do? What's going to stop them from doing? In verse 10. Stop feeding the flock. They can't feed them. Cease it, and they shall be. Nor what else will he stop them from doing?
They won't feed themselves either.
That's right. He's got to deliver the flock from their mouth. They may not be meat for them. And so, what is it about the scatter? What's the Lord going to do? What the Lord does become a shepherd, is he not? In verse 11. What does the Lord say he was going to do that the shepherds weren't doing? Search out the flock and seek them out. In other words, he's going to take care of them. They'll see where they went, where they go. And then he says in verse 12, what is the simile here? What is the simile? As a shepherd. Similes are as or like. It's not as a shepherd literally, but as a shepherd. Similar to a shepherd, what's he going to do? In verse 12. All right. In the day that he's among his sheep. In other words, the Lord's going to come down and seek them out and going to deliver them in that way. And all where they've scattered in the cloudy and dark day, and scattering around the mountains. And now in the future, what is God going to do? What's he promised to do to the Israelites in this world, the children of Israel?
Bring them all back to Israel.
And who gave them Israel?
God
himself gave the children of Israel Israel. And whether the Arabs like it or not, during the millennial reign of Christ, Israel is going to be in the land, and he's going to be, the Lord Jesus is going to be ruling and reigning out of that land of Israel. It'll be the center of the attention, and the tribulation period, the 7 years of tribulation, there's going to be battles over this land. But the final end of that battle will be the Lord Jesus Christ triumphant, and he's going to take all the sheep that are scattered. Now, right now, since 1948, the Balfour Declaration, I believe it was called, and some of Israel went back to the land. The Arabs didn't like it, and they've been fighting ever since. Used to have a large amount, now they got a smaller amount. They're still now with President Bush and others on a partition to make it even smaller, the Palestine and so on. It'd be one thing if the Palestinians would be peaceful, but to have the two split things with the fighting, so the land is going to be all of theirs. Now, what part of the land did God give to Abraham? How much of the land? The great river of Egypt, all the way over. In other words, in fact, the land that they've never really possessed in full. But one day they will.
The Euphrates?
Up in the Euphrates? Over here, yes. And when the desert blossoms as the rose, and as Isaiah says, this whole desert, and the fresh water comes in, this desert will become a tropical paradise, and they will be able to have crops and lands during the millennial reign of Christ. That will take place, Yavon.
I forget who it was, Abraham or who it was. God said that to them, whatever you walk on and whatever you claim, that'll be your land. Mm-hmm. I forget now who that was. And they stopped. They didn't keep going. They could have had more. They didn't keep going. Do you remember who that was? Was it Abraham? He said that.
Well, I know Lot and Abraham split, and
Lot
took his choice.
I forget.
Well, there's one thing that God said, smite. So many times, just more, three times, well, he didn't destroy the enemies. He should have spent them to the ground more than that. But,
Joshua, maybe?
Well, Joshua divided the land.
Wherever they walked, wherever they went, and they didn't go.
Well, they didn't possess the land, they didn't possess their possessions. That's true. But one day...
Yeah, we don't get the full blessing because we don't walk the...
Walk the walk. Well, the Lord one day will bring back all of the sheep to the land. And do the Gentile nations want that?
No.
They do not want the Israelites to have that land. Whether it's communist Russia or whether it's the Islamic nations all over the area, they're all against this thing. They want to drive Israel to the sea and kill them all, destroy them all, and while we're at it, they don't mind killing a few Christians as well, the radical Islamic fascists, as they call them. Let's read verse number 13, 14, and 15 together. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. So in verse 13, what's he going to do? The Lord himself as the shepherd. Bring them out, gather them from the countries. Now, are there any Jews scattered throughout other countries, or are they only in Israel now? Are they only in this country? All over. See, even some in Africa. These African Jews, all different places, all over the world. They're scattered and scattered and scattered, and God's going to bring them to their own, what does it mean, their own land? What does that mean? In verse 13. What does that word own mean? God gave them the land. That's their land. And that's the thing that the Arabs and the Islamic people don't like. Feed them upon the mountains, by the river. In other words, he will supply their need and all inhabited places. And in verse 14, what kind of feed is he going to give them?
A good pasture.
Remember Psalm 23 again. And pasture is green. In other words, there's a green pasture. Leave me not beside the still waters and restore my soul. A good pasture. So this is an analogy of the sheep and the shepherd again. But it's people. These are people that are going to be cared for by the Lord himself, who becomes their shepherd. And he's going to feed them on the mountains, even the mountains he's going to give them food. And then verse 14, a good pasture, just a fine pasture, even on the mountains, they're going to have a fold and a provision. Now, there they shall lie. Is it necessary for sheep to lie?
They're resting.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Green pastures, they need to rest. And cattle rest, sheep rest, flocks rest, and you and I need rest as well in our weary days in which we live. And that's why the apostles, the disciples, needed rest. In fact, the Lord Jesus told them when they were very busy, he said, come ye apart and rest a while. Come ye apart and rest a while. And a fat pasture shall they feed. And then in verse 15, who's going to supply their food?
Israel.
The Lord himself. And who's going to help them to lie down and rest?
God.
Is there any rest now in Israel? No, there's restlessness, isn't there? I mean, people of every hand. Someone we just heard of recently is going over there to Israel. I don't remember who it was.
Well, Richard's church going to send him.
Oh, yes, our son Dick, the pastor there in Maryland. He's going to send them over. I don't know what the month is. In the month of May. I just hope it's all right. I know when we went there in the 1980s, there was battle and there's war, but now it's even more serious than ever. I just hope it comes back all right and not in any way get wounded. But there's danger over there and they don't have lying down and rest, that's for sure.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Another thing that comes to mind. When we lived in Cedarville, across the way over there, there was a farm.
Yeah.
It was a sheep farm.
Right.
I can't remember his name, began with a W, and I only had three children, but I guess it was before Richard was born. I don't know. I went over there with the children and watched the sheep. We watched the sheep and the baby sheep. And
also in Purdue University, there were sheep across the way, too, back of us. Well, there was a pig over there? Okay. There were some animals. I don't remember that.
I remember. And there was
sheep in Cedarville, pigs in Lafayette, Indiana. All right.
And Don fell over in the pig thing with the pig.
He fell in the pig?
Well, he either climbed over or any of that.
In Lafayette.
The pigs started chasing him.
Yeah. All right, let's read verse number 16, 17, and 18 together. And I will, Anna, do you have something first?
I found the verse.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I found the verse Grandma was talking about.
Oh, good. What is it there?
This is in Joshua 1, 3.
All right.
Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Good. So that's the feet
that's
treading upon
1:3.
1:3. Right, 1:3 of Joshua. Every place that their feet will tread is where you will
right,
be possessed.
They didn't tread.
They said they could have tread on all the places, but God promised them all the treading of all the places. All right, let's read verse 14. Yeah, 14. Where were we now? Let's see.
Justified.
16. Where are we?
We're 17.
There were 17?
16, right.
16, 17, 18. Let's see those together. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the heifers. See, the small thing to you to have eaten up the good pasture, that ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must follow the residue with your feet. All right, what's he going to do in verse 16? The Lord himself is the shepherd. What's he going to do? Seek that which was lost. It says in Luke 19:10, does it not? The Son of Man has come to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. And God promised to do that. Bring them again that was driven away. And bind up that which was broken. And strengthen the sick. Very important that this all be taken care of and taken care of indeed. And feed them with judgment. Feed them with judgment. Now, notice in verse 17, he's going to say, oh, my flock. Now, who's the flock there, the small flock? My flock. Who does that refer to, you think?
17.
Yes, verse 17.
The flock is the people.
The people and probably the ones that are following him and under his wing and part of his sheepfold and close to them. He's going to judge between what in verse 17?
Cattle.
Mm-hmm. In other words, he's going to judge between the ones that have fallen away, the ones that are the flock not following the shepherd, the ones that are out of place. He's a judge, you know, the Lord is a judge. And then in verse number 18, what have some of these sheep done to the pasture?
They ate
the good pasture. That's right. They ate up the good. And what did they do with the rest of
them? They
trampled it down, residue of pastures. And so he asked the question in the last part of verse 18, why did you drink of the deep waters if you follow the residue of the feet? In other words, you take that which is good and then destroy it for other people. God doesn't want us to do that, does he? He wants us to be serving the Lord and not following up things for other people to eat and drink of and so on. All right, we're going to stop right here. The picture of a shepherd and the sheep. If you have any other comments or questions that you want to talk about now, yes, sir, Cass.
It's not really anything, but many times when I think of Israel, and I think of how everybody always wants to take their land and do things for them, and I always think how wonderful it'll be when the Lord comes and gives us their land and he's ahead of it all.
Yes. It's very wonderful, isn't it? The Lord's going to take care of him. That's right. The wonderful, powerful Lord that we have.
He'll do it all.
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm. It's good to have a comment or question we have. All right, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for thy power and thy shepherdhood to those of us who were lost sheep and those of us who have saved and come to Christ by faith. We thank thee that our Savior came to seek us, to save us, those who have trusted in him. We pray that we may walk in his way. We may not depart from that. We pray, Lord, that the shepherd that loved us and gave himself for us will guide us continuously by thy words. Keep us strong for thy words. We pray for everyone that's here and their families that are present in our church this evening and those that are listening by other means. Guide and direct them and meet the needs of spirit, soul, and body. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day, and may we praise thy name and be used of thee in the meantime. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Well, thank you for coming.